In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Buenos dias, y'all. Well, yes, this is Word for Life broadcast. But since we are introducing folks that work in Mexico, I just thought I'd start out with a little Spanish. We're glad you joined us this morning. Jonathan and Wendy Latham, missionaries to Monterrey, Mexico, are with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're thrilled to be able to hear about their ministry. It's kind of a unique ministry. Jonathan, start out by telling us a bit about what you guys do.
I teach at a seminary in Monterrey, Mexico, and it's the only accredited seminary on the collegiate level. We have a master's program that we've opened recently and something really special that the Lord's raised up there in Monterrey.
Now, that's not at all what you thought you would be doing on a missions field.
That's correct.
What did the Lord first direct you to be trained in, and then how did the Lord change your heart?
My parents were missionaries in Africa when I was born, and all growing up in Ohio, I had a real burden for primitive missions, unreached people.
Okay.
Met Wendy, and she was interested in missions. But really, my focus, our focus as a couple, was to go to places that didn't have the gospel, somebody that would live and die and never even hear the message of salvation. And we had the opportunity to serve there for a while, but the Lord used Wendy's health to redirect our steps. And one thing that really attracted us to the ministry in Monterrey was the resources that they are providing for people that are in situations like we were in Africa.
Okay. So your first training was in aviation.
Right.
Which you had to have for that particular location in Africa.
We didn't actually use it in Equatorial Guinea. It was a factor that we considered. Wendy studied Spanish. And so with my interest in Africa, her abilities already in Spanish, and the interest in aviation, we kind of used that as the three primary things when we began to investigate what ministries we would consider.
So, Wendy, did you have any Spanish in high school?
I did. I had 4 years in high school.
Okay. So then you majored in Spanish in college?
Right. Spanish education.
Spanish education. Mm-hmm. So when it came to considering a country in Africa that spoke Spanish, you had a choice of how many countries?
One.
One. I see. Okay. Okay, Lord, where should we go? Okay, good. We got it.
And that wasn't the whole reasoning at all, but it was a factor.
It did work in, yeah.
That's actually how we heard about it for the first time. We were in college. We were sort of dating and interested in each other, and we're going to a group that prayed specifically for missions around the world. And
sure.
I'm going to the Africa group, and she's going to the Spanish-speaking group. And a friend of ours said, well, if you guys are going to get married, you're going to have to go to Equatorial Guinea because that's the only place where your interests intersect. And we didn't even know the country existed.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we heard about it at that point, and it was years later that the Lord directed us finally to that. But it was first came up as a joke, and then we ended up going there.
And you were there how long?
3.5 years.
Okay. That's cool. Now, what country were your folks working in?
They were in the Congo. It was Zaire when I was born. Yeah. It's the Democratic Republic of the Congo now.
Right. DRC?
No. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there are two Congos, and this is the supposed Republic of the Congo.
Supposedly
I won't even get into that.
Right, yes.
The supposed Republic. Okay. You both met at Bob Jones?
That's correct.
Okay. When you finally got on the mission field, were there any classes or maybe life experiences that you wish you had taken or you wish you had had before you got there?
Yeah, I think of a moment when Dr. John Dreisbach, veteran missionary in Africa, is visiting our house, and I was in the rafters of the roof installing lights. And he just sat back and laughed. He said, I bet you learned that in the MA program, didn't you, in your master's degree? And honestly, like small engine repair, mechanics, I had some experience there. I studied aircraft maintenance.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, if it wasn't for that, I just feel like we'd have been toast.
Wow.
And any training, like building, practical wiring, Depending on where you go, if you're going to a modern situation, you might not need some of that. But where we were, I really wish I had like diesel mechanic background and some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's one of the things that New Tribes really focuses on.
Sure.
Because they're expecting you to go where you have to do everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And the church, you know, the body of Christ helped us a lot. We had a friend in Central Ohio. He's an electrical engineer, and he gave us this big blue tub, and it had solar panels. It had blue and red wires for direct current wiring.
Okay.
He had inverters. He wired our house for us before we left. And he made schematic diagrams. I mean, you know, total engineer guy.
Had he ever done that before for anybody?
That's what he does to help missionaries.
Isn't that amazing?
And so, like, all the time we were in Africa, I would go to my Ron Frank big blue bin.
Yeah,
and any wire, any connector, any, like, electrical tape, it was all in there. And he, like, took that on and as his personal thing. And, you know, it spoke to me a lot as... That's his specialty. That's what he can do. And so whenever he found a missionary where his specialty fit, he just went all out crazy to help us.
Oh, wow. You know, we got a lot of people listening to us around the country that could adopt the same type of ministry to missionaries their church supports. I mean, somebody that's fantastic in IT.
Oh,
who doesn't need help in IT?
Absolutely.
You know, and so whatever... your particular field is, help your missionaries be prepared or be available to be a resource for them. That's an awesome point.
And honestly, like, the whole time we were there, just suddenly I would need a connector, suddenly I would need an outlet. He had 12-volt sockets. He had little car fans. We could sleep at night because Ron Frank gave us solar panels, gave us the wiring, gave us the sockets, gave us the fan, and sat me down. And, you know, as an engineer, he's got wiring diagrams and a little notebook he's prepared. And it was like, that was just his thing.
He needs to write a book for missionaries.
Yeah.
It was really special because it was something very him.
You still have all that, the manual?
No, well, honestly, we left all that in Equatorial Guinea when we left.
Okay. All right.
But it was priceless. It was, well, you're, of course it was. In the jungle, you know, where are you going to get that?
Nowhere.
Nowhere, right.
There is no Home Depot within 14,000 miles.
So when we were traveling back to Equatorial Guinea quite a bit when Wendy was sick, I would go in every month and a half or 2 months.
Okay.
And half of my suitcase would be like Phillips screws.
Yeah.
And stuff you just couldn't get in the country.
Yeah.
And so to have that resource prepackaged was a tremendous blessing.
Wendy, what was your first emotional response when those medical issues started coming up?
I think some of the difficulty for me was thinking, I'm going to ruin this.
Okay.
We planned, we went, we got all this ready, we spent so much time, and now, you know, I'm going to blow it here. And it was hard for me to recognize that, well, the Lord is allowing something, and he's going to use it to direct us.
The sovereignty of God isn't quite as strong, you know, when you're dealing with something like that, like, what?
Right, why?
Yeah, right. But he obviously was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, you can usually trace God's hand. Just looking ahead, it's hard sometimes.
Right. Looking ahead, there seems to be blinders on our spiritual glasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, I don't know if you guys have heard about the four stabilizing truths that the Wiles in North Carolina teach us, that whenever you're facing a really, really tough time, number one, God's love for me is unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
God's purpose for me is Christ-likeness. God's word to me has the final right answer, and God's grace is always sufficient.
Very good.
Those four stabilizing truths have gotten me through so many trials.
Amen.
You know, because Satan comes along and says, oh, so you think God loves you? You know, look at this.
Right.
And if I don't stop and remember God's love for me is unchanging, it never changes. He loves me just as much today as he did when he called me and when I was being trained, when everything was great. It's unchanging. I know when I was the president of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College for one semester, and as soon as we found out that the college was going to have to close, I mentioned those four things to our students. And yes, there was a lot of tears, but there were numbers of them that came up and said, what was number two on those tables? What was that last one?
Mm-hmm.
And so I preached four messages on those four, and it's been many years now. But I'm still in contact with those students, and the testimonies are, wow, Dr. Huffman, what a blessing those four stabilizing truths today are to us based on what we're going through. So, yeah, God sends sickness or disability or whatever, and then he says, so how you doing with that? You know, we don't like those how you doing with that conversations, you know. And we finally have to say, well, Lord, all things work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? Next verse, Christ's likeness.
Right. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he mentions the trials, the comforts with which we're comforted,
mm-hmm.
so that we can comfort others.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's given Wendy, in particular, opportunities in Mexico to deal with women.
Sure.
Who are dealing with very similar feminine issues, health issues, and we wouldn't wish this on anyone. It was really a very difficult trial.
You didn't get a vote.
Right.
Right.
But God does make that part of your preparation to Correct. Serve others.
Correct. Yeah, there's some things you choose. I need to take this course. I need some help and counseling. Some things we choose. Others God chooses. And we're saying, no, Lord, no, I'm not interested in that. God says, I'm sorry, you don't get a vote. And later we discover, oh, we lost our first baby, born perfectly sound, and then the next day not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And God has used that loss down through the years to help my wife minister to so many women.
Mm-hmm.
Miscarriages, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So that's good. Well, what are a few things that you wish the average church member understood about the amount of needed support?
You know, it varies from field to field and ministry to ministry, but I think of Proverbs 22:3, where it talks about the wise man sees the evil day and hides himself.
Yeah.
There need to be responsible. There's a good emphasis recently in missions, last 25 years, of missionaries preparing for their own retirement and not expecting necessarily that all their churches continue to support them into and through retirement. So our board has been very clear and proactive in communicating that we need to be preparing. And so that's a factor. And then, two, I think when you think of what a missionary receives in terms of their support, especially when you're pioneering or beginning a work, it's not just about that family. It's about maybe renting a building. It's about all the startup expenses.
Ministry funds.
Right, expense. Go through that as well. And so there's the number might look really big, and it might be really big.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are a lot of things that are part of that. And like our board, Gospel Fellowship Association, stratifies that out. It explains what is going to what part.
We're going to have to pick up the rest of this conversation the next time because we've run out of time. Well, folks, join us next couple of days and we'll continue. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.